Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, hello, hello, and hello to everybody. Hello, I'm going to keep saying it, Periscope. Hello, hello, Facebook, and hello, the oldest one, Blog Talk Radio. How are you? I hope everybody's doing well. I'm excited about being here today, and guess what? I got exciting stuff for you, rich stuff. And you know what else we're going to do? Are you ready? See, all these people who got on late, they're like, what's going on? What's going on? They won't know, but you're going to know because you were early. Guess what? We're taking questions the last half. Isn't that great? So, now, you cannot ask me about why the sky is blue. Why do we have white clouds? You have to ask me about the apostolic. You know, we don't get enough of that. And so that you can know, we did it for the prophetic ad. It turned out well. It was exciting. So, you know, I thought, you guys on Tuesday may have some questions about apostleship, apostles, the apostolic Christian, hopefully. And so whatever your questions are, start sending them through because Prophet Ashley is typing them. So when we move into the question mode, we can answer some things. And, you know, for me, nothing's off limits. Just, you know, as long as we stay sane. And if not, I won't ever read them because Ashley will be my editor. She's the redactor. But I am so glad to be with you again this week. I've been working. You know what I've been doing? Guess what I've been doing, guys? I have been working on the latest edition of Constructing the Contemporary Prophet. I know. And trust me, it will look nothing like its elder brother. So you will definitely want to get your copy of it. I'm rolling out the first portion of it in June just to give you a taste. I'm going to whet your appetite a little bit. So just wanted to announce that. I thought that was great. The other thing I want to remind you is June 15th through 18th. It's only around the corner. I need to see you in Tulsa. I need to see you. You've seen me, but I've not seen you. And we need to meet. We need to connect. We need to pray for you. Do you know what I want to do? I want to pray for you. And I have enormous prayer power. Just in case you didn't know, go to blogtalkradio.com, Paula Price Show. I have that. So I want you to show up. Come. If you need money right now, and I speak to the spirits of finance and resources, because you need resources to get money. I speak to the spirit of finances and resources, and I loose your money. I command tickets to come to you. I command hotel money to fall into your hand. I summon registration money out of nowhere. I pull on the unseen, the unknown, the withheld, and the suppressed. And I command it to loosen and let it go. I thank you, God, that your angels will go forth and do this. The angels assigned to my commission will do it because I need you to come. So I need them to bring you here. They're on assignment by the Holy Ghost to bring you here in Tulsa, June 15th through 18th. So when I hang up, call the line, get online, and put your registration in, secure your hotel room. Trust me, it is going to be worth the press. I promise you. I promise you in Jesus' name it's going to be worth the press. Now, before I get started, do I have any apostolic Christians out there? Because, you know, I put you all on assignment last week. Let's see how well you handle assignments. Huh? So throughout this broadcast tonight, I need you to tell me if you have it. We've been teaching it in our church, and Prophet Ashley's month, and so she's been just killing it on Facebook and Periscope too. Are you on Periscope too on Sundays? Because we never know. Okay, so you have to go to Facebook to catch her, and she's got hundreds of people joining her chain. So let's say you want to do this in your church, but you don't quite know how to begin. Let's say you want to start discipling and converting your Christians to your Christians, apostolic Christians. You know what? Join her. Watch her Facebook. Watch her announcements. Join them. My prophets are teaching it on Sundays. Now, why is it? Because truthfully, divine orders that the prophets disseminate the apostles' message. That's divine order. When you think about it, the prophets disseminate the apostles' message. Paul and Silas, they went, come on. When Paul had two apostles, man, they fought like crazy. They couldn't get along, had family issues, you know, blood relatives bumping up with the kingdom relatives. It wasn't working. And so what they did was they just split. And what I like about the split, now this is an aside, but what I like about the split is when you read the account, we often hear about, you know, Mark was young and all of that. That's great. That's all fine, you know. But Mark was Barnabas' relatives, and Barnabas literally fought with Paul because Mark had an issue. The young one, the inexperienced novice, had an issue. And so what happened? You know, the Bible is a massive understatement. They had a bitter dispute. No, it was ugly. When God uses bitter, it's ugly because God does not have words that don't mean anything, and he won't substitute soft words for what he really means. So they had a bitter dispute. But here, listen to me, people. You're going to like this. You are going to like this. Do you know what? It says that they separated. And you know what I said after that? And the Barnabas took Mark, took his relative. But the Bible said the church went with Paul. Oh, what a word. That's a message for somebody tonight. I'm telling you, I just answered somebody this night. The church went with Paul because God is not in family things like that. God is in his family because that's the family he got to take care of forever. And so it says, but the church went with Paul. So what did Paul do after that? Well, God obviously dropped a little piece of wisdom in there. You know, God woke up and said, you know what we have? This is what we have. We've got these prophets that are sidelined. Who sidelined them? Well, anyway, so they're sidelined. What are we going to do with them? I know what we'll do. We will pair them with the apostles. That's what we'll do. We'll pair them with the apostles. And so the successful team was born. My daughter, who is an apostolic prophet, did a teaching that I absolutely love, and it's called Finding Your Silas. She did that at our event in Joliet, Illinois, I think year before last. Finding Your Silas. She does an amazing teaching on the apostolic prophet and the balance between the two. And the reason that we do it is because far too many prophets are being made apostles when they're actually apostolic prophets. Come on, give me some claps. You know that was clap worthy. You know it. Come on. Even y'all that's been bumped up too soon and too fast. You know, Peter, James, John, and a few, Andrew, because they were, but they started out as prophets. They were following John the Baptist. But guess what? When Jesus came, they were bumped up, but not everybody was. So people have asked me, Dr. Price, what do you think about all of these prophets becoming apostles? They're not. They're not, and you'll know they're not because they can't bear the weight of the office. So they can exhibit the attributes. And, you know, in my assessment, my online assessment at drpaulaaprice.com, in my online assessment, I talk about that. And we have – it literally will pick out apostolic prophets. Now, it does two things. You're going to like this. It does two things. I don't even know why I'm on this subject, but anyway, I'm just rolling with the Holy Ghost. So we'll just roll on with King Jesus. So it'll pick out. It'll do three things. It'll tell you where the apostles are. It will tell you where the apostles that are too new to be apostles fall. And then it will tell you where the apostolic prophets are. And what we have found is that according to any other structure, there are far fewer apostles than we imagine that actually take it. I mean, if we pull the sampling together, we could actually publicize that sampling. So my word to you all is that there are quite a few apostolic prophets that have been bumped up to apostles. And some of you apostles out there who have wondered what happened because they exhibited some apostolic traits and aptitudes, they had those traits and aptitudes to complement your apostleship, not to go side by side with you as an apostle. They actually are your bridge mantle. The mantle between the prophetic and the apostolic is that apostolic prophet who bridges. Anybody fall? Are y'all rolling with me? Is this working? I need you to get this because, you see, that's another piece of divine order we have to work on. So as we go on, we'll talk about that. So now, and in her teaching, I don't know where it, you know, I'm going to leave that on Prophet Ashley. All the hard stuff, I just leave on her. And so It's up to her, between her and Prophet Tala, they'll dig it up. But it is one of the most exceptional teachings. And we've done several. We have quite a few teachings on Apostolic Prophet, but it's one of the most exceptional teachings that I've heard on the differentiating between the apostle, the prophet, and the apostolic prophet. So if you're interested, but Prophet Ashley, she has nothing else to do. We just give her all day long to play. You know, she's got this big beach ball in her office we let her play with. And, you know, so we don't have beaches in Tulsa. Well, I guess we do have beaches in Oklahoma of some kind. Anyway, but I wanted to tell you that for somebody. Now, some of you are leaders right now. I know I'm prophesying, but I'm digging into your world right now. And I'm telling you, you're about to make apostles out of prophets that should not be made apostles. The Holy Spirit has interjected and intercepted what I was doing to say, don't you do it. Don't do it. Make sure you know of a truth, that you know for a fact that this person and these people that you're about to commission as apostles are really apostles. Because I'm telling you, there are less of them than we're actually acknowledging, and you're putting these people into situations where the trials of apostleship are going to land on their lives. And when it lands on their life, they are going to crumble under it. And you're going to find out that if you commission 10, only 2 will survive the trial, which means only 2 made the cut in God. So I'm speaking to you by the word of the Lord. Postpone that commission ceremony. Hold up. Hold fast. Back off a little bit. If it's God, it'll wait. If they don't die tomorrow, they'll fulfill destiny the day after. Hold on. I'm saying this of a truth, but out of the love and the grace of God. Because, see, God had to come in and clean up the shrapnel and clean up the assaults on their lives and pull the shattered pieces back together. And these people don't know what happened, because the rule of apostleship is that you must go in the wilderness and face Satan. And he's got to have free access to swipe you, to test you. See, that's in the Bible. That's, I'm not making this up. This is not about, boy, I really like the way he preaches, and she's cute as a young. It's not about any of that. It's about, can their lives survive the trial, the proving process? There is a genuine proving process for apostles, and it is there as clear as day. The first thing, Peter and John, they're going into the temple. Now, listen, the best thing in the world happened to them. They got the fire from on high. They've been endued with power from on high. God has come down. It is it. They're going into the temple. Everybody's excited. They trying on their new power. Yeah, let's see if this thing is working. Woo, it's working. Heal the guy that's been, you know, that was at the temple and lame. And all of a sudden, what do they get? You think they got a television date? You think they got a, no, they didn't. They got jail time. And then they got beat. Again, it's going to happen. A lot of these people, and I'm speaking to you apostles today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to this office. I'm telling you, back down off of that. Stop being so quick to throw these people out. It takes you 30 seconds to lay your hands on them, sling a little oil, and wave a sword over their head and some cloth around them and go on about your business. But they have to live with that action, because you actually, through your ceremony, release them to be tried for that office, a trying that should have happened before you did that. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with their ability to preach, their knowledge, their ability to lay hands. It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with if they can do what the office is called for, and that is faced off with God's prince adversary and survive and thrive. And it takes a lot. That spirit is going to come after their house. It's going to come after their kids. It's going to come after their body. It's going to come after their job. It's going to come after their money, because they have to prove to God that they are worthy generals in his kingdom. And before you start leading an army, you got to make sure you can stand with an army and survive the army of adversaries that are going to come. So I don't know who you are. I'm speaking by the Spirit right now. And I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, back down off of that. That is not God, and God is tired of having to clean up the mess in these people's lives. We don't even want to talk about the temptation. What did Jesus say? Satan has desired you. Peter, his God. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'm building my church. and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Peter goes from this is my man to I never knew the man in a night. And he said before that, because hear me, people, because we, oh, Shereto Cassandra Capunasa, Apoterino Sotabian. Listen to me, people of God. Listen to me, leaders. Listen to me, apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, had a meeting. He had a meeting. And guess who he had a meeting with? Satan. How you think he knew that? Satan. He said, but Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. And he said, but I have prayed for, he didn't say, but I bound him and yoked him and tied him up and lassoed him and throw him in the corner. He didn't say that. He didn't say, no, I did not give him permission. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Somebody gonna hear this word tonight, this here night. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Not my faith in you, your faith in you. And then he said, my favorite line, my favorite line. He said, but and when you are converted, oh, come on, somebody. When you are converted, there, listen to me, I'm going to say it slowly. I'm on fire right now. The Spirit of God is bursting through my belly, and I want you to get this thing because God is trying to preserve some young people's lives, preserve their marriages. He's trying to preserve their soul. He's trying to preserve their faith in him and their ability to stand and having stood to stand therefore. Now listen, he said, but when you are converted, strengthen your brother. What is he saying? Because, see, we look at Scripture and say, oh, wow, Peter got tried. And what was Peter doing for those 3 days that Jesus was in hell? Because they couldn't find him. Where was Peter for 3 days? He wasn't with the team because Jesus had to call him back into service. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He called, you know, a lot of you. Oh, yeah. Shamakasiya. You know, a lot of evangelicals use that, and they say, well, that's why we know that they weren't really called apostles. No, no. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter, and then he said, go tell my brethren. So it depends on who you're looking at. But guess why he didn't call them apostles? Because he had vacated that commission by his death. So they were no longer apostles. But let's get back to my discussion. Where was Peter for 3 days? When he said, I never knew the man and cursed. Where was he? Now, we know where Jesus was, and we know where the apostles were, the surviving apostles were. We know one was in the grave. He killed himself. Hallelujah. And we know that 10 were together off and on, because when they got together, Thomas was never there. He was mad. I gave my life to this man. How dare he die? But listen. But where was Peter? Have you ever heard anybody tell you where Peter was? Well, let me tell you where Peter was. Peter was where you go when you've denied your best friend. Peter was where you go when the cowardice that was in your soul that you didn't know was there becomes public. Peter, come on, somebody hear me. Peter was where you go when you have hung out with your friends and your pals and you bought their lie. Peter is where you go when you entered ministry for yourself and find out yourself is not big enough to keep it going. Peter is where you go when your doctrine is tried and tested and you don't feel good about it. Peter was in a dark place. And he was in a lonely place. He was in a place where he couldn't even go back to his 12 friends because they found out, they witnessed him denying their God, the same man that they backed for 3.5 years. They witnessed what Peter did. Peter was where you go when the world finds out that there's nothing to you and you thought you were all there. That's where Peter was. That's where he was. So while Jesus was fighting hell for his soul, Peter had his own battle with Satan. And he had to imagine the questions that went around in his head in that dark 3 days, not able to even have the comfort of the men that he had been with, of the partners and comrades he'd been. He didn't even have their comfort because he didn't just betray Jesus, he betrayed them. Peter's where you go when you betray your pals, Will you betray your family? Will you betray everybody because you don't believe it should turn out the way you did not dream? Peter had a dream and God had a dream, and Peter's dream did not stand the test of fire. But Jesus, if you're there on Facebook and Periscope, I want you to write, but Jesus, write that for me. I want to see that go big. But Jesus. See, Jesus knew Peter where Peter had never met Peter before. And so Jesus says to Peter, but when you're converted, what is he saying? Jesus is saying some of the most profound stuff in every one of the reasons why you don't want to hurry up and put people out there. He said, first of all, Jesus comes, I've taken you to the mountain, you've seen me transfigured, I've turned on the light of glory inside me, you've seen Moses, you've seen Elijah, you've seen the heavenly host, you've met my dad in the sky, how dare you tell me I don't know my destiny? Peter thought, Peter joined Jesus because of the flesh. He took up his ministry because of the flesh. He had fleshly hopes and fleshly aspirations. He went through all that 3.5 years, and it was glorious to be the one that's with the man that's casting out devils and backing down authority and tearing up kingdoms and healing people and doing the impossible. And Peter was all in it. He was enjoying the glory. But Satan said, like you said about Job, but will he curse you? Will he stand with you when you die? Because Satan already knows Jesus got to die because he already got the clipboard. 3, 2, okay. Cue Judas. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Cue Pilate. All right. Get the army ready. And Jesus said, I'm dying and I'm coming back, Peter, but I just want you to know before I leave here, I know that you are never converted to me. See, you followed me. You accompanied me. You served me. You took care of me. But you never got my reason for being here. And you cannot follow an apostle if you don't know their reason. God made them so. And so he said, so Peter, I'm leaving my church in your hands. And in order to do that, I've got to leave it in the hands of somebody that can strengthen them. And if you can't strengthen your brethren because you're not strong in me yourself, because you want me to do something contrary to what my father sent me into the planet to do. You want me to deny death. You want me to deny the humiliation. You want me to pass on all of this and just continue walking this earth with you until we don't know when. But that's not why I became flesh. He said, but when you are converted, you want to know why the church isn't converted? I'll just leave that on the dot, dot, dot. And you fill in the blanks. Because you must first be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to convert others. And you can't rewrite Jesus' destiny. And you cannot rewrite the cross. And you cannot rewrite Calvary. And you cannot rewrite Pentecost. You cannot rewrite the graves. You can't rewrite the 39 stripes that he took, had to take. You cannot rewrite the crown of thorns he had to put on his head. You cannot rewrite the humiliation he suffered, because it goes with facing off with the thing that wants to make you cease to exist. People say all the time, you know, Dr. Price is hard, and she makes it too difficult. It just doesn't take all of that. Apostles are not evangelists. They are evangelical. They are not evangelists. Evangelists can take a nice testimony. You get your little testimony. Bless the Lord. You go and share. You pick it up. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today, and you need to understand this, especially those of you who are about to flee from your apostle. I'm telling you, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it, because when your apostle goes into trial, that's when you want to pray, because when they come out, we'll tell you whether or not they won or lost the wilderness battle. And you should know that. So you're not, apostles are not evangelists. You do not send an apostle out the way you send out an evangelist. Well, just go and share your testimony. Just go and tell them about Jesus. That's not what apostles do. Because apostles are not trying to deal with just the devils when individuals, they are out to take down the powers that have ruled and reigned in God's place. And let me tell you something. Each of the fivefold have their own strata. Hallelujah. And I'll say that as plural, their own strata of spiritual forces that are for and against them, spiritual advocates and adversaries. Each one. They have it. And I'll say this to you because it's so important that you hear me tonight. Got to be up for the battle. You do not send a foot soldier to fight a general's battle. I don't care how nice they look in the uniform. I don't care how shiny those buttons look on their little chest and that knife, how glittery those tassels are on their shoulders and their little effort. I don't care about that. I'm telling you that when the ceremony is over and everybody has gone home and they've given you your applause and all of that stuff, I'm telling you, then comes the real trial. And when you're over, you can tell who won and who didn't by the strengthening of the people they lead. If those people stay weak and lost and floundering and fuffering with you after years of being under your ministry and they still don't get Jesus and they still can't get righteousness and they still can't do holiness, you understand that person lost the wilderness battle. Because the reward for winning the wilderness is conversion. Your conversion to the Messiah's commission. Not yours, the Messiah's, and the PC assigned you. So I want to say, I don't know where that came from, to be honest with you. That is not what I had. I got a whole screen, some stuff up here. I got some stuff over here. But God stopped me because there is somebody that's getting ready to be commissioned whose life is going to go into the toilet as a result because they are not ready to take on the adversaries of the calling that God has on their lives. See, we all love the advocates, but it's the adversaries that we are not prepared for. And God makes sure you do not enter apostleship not without knowing your enemies. You've got to know how they show up. You've got to know how they hit. Everybody does it. A prize fighter has sits there and watch hours and hours and hours and hours of footage to find out how their opponent fights. The sports team do the same thing. They all do it except us. We just say, oh, isn't she cute? That's so nice. I just love it. When she spoke, my baby leaped and my heart burned and my new and everything. No. That's not how God makes apostles. Because, see, let me tell you something. A lot of what you say as an apostle don't make nobody's baby leave. Ain't nobody. As a matter of fact, they don't even tell you they got a baby because nothing's going to leave. Nothing. A lot of what you say, honey, their heart's not going to burn because their tempers are going to seethe. So you have to know that this is your calling no matter what, no matter how they do it or not. You've got to love God's people's future enough to deal with them in the present the way he would. And so I've lived this. I'm telling you, I've had she's legalistic, she's religious. I'm telling you, you're now hearing from me why I am the way I am and why I do it the way I do it. Because you see, when you have really, really been with Jesus, you see that he has no choice but to judge sin. It is his duty. He cannot bypass it. He can't. And when you get your trusty little book, did you see me change? Did you see how I can do that? I can do Saul. You want to do the same Saul? When you get this trusty little book, it's such a nice little book. It's called The ABCs of Apostleship. It didn't change anything, did it? Well, when you get your book, we talk about that. Do not commission those people. I don't care how angry they get because they're going to be furious with you when you cannot help them get out of the rubble that they're going to have to go through if they don't win the wilderness contest. And it has to happen with every apostle. Poor little Timothy, you know, he said what? In the good warfare, nobody entangles himself in warfare. You know, is going to, you know, look back at the world. He said, wage the good warfare, war with the powers. Are you kidding me? And half of these people haven't even had that kind of training to even know what to expect, so they are blindsided. They're like, what happened? I don't know what's going on in my life. All I did, and I didn't even know what it was. Well, my pastor said, No. I'm a mama, and mamas have a different way of handling their children than papas do. Because papa's like, go ahead, go at it head first. You can get it, bounce back. Mama's like, hold on. Wait a minute. You my baby. Hold on. I want to make sure my child can make this. See, we're the ones who's going to do the letters. You need to learn all your alphabet, not just the six you like. Mamas have a different way of raising their children. And I'm not a new mama. I'm not somebody with some three-year-old children trying to tell you how to handle your 15-year-old. I'm not my daughter, my oldest daughter, and she'll kill me when she finds out over 45 years old. I'm telling you, I'm not new at this. And I know life is difficult anyway. And it's going to be even more difficult if you throw these people out here to face off with those testers and those provers of apostleship, because that office has got to be vetted. God has to do it because it's too high, and it carries too much power, and it rewards too greatly, and it punishes too severely. This is real, people. And I don't know if this, I'm going to move into the questions now. I hope this was a help. If this was a help to you, let me know. If this was a blessing to you, let me know. If it spoke to you, let me know. But I just feel like whoever you are, and you young people, stop being in a hurry, because you're like, well, it's working now. Don't worry about it. It won't work, because God's got to test you. He's got to vet you. You've got to go through. You've got to learn isolation. You've got to conquer humiliation. You've got to defeat rejection. You've got to learn how to turn poverty into prosperity. You have got to learn how to defeat setbacks, upsets, and set down. You've got to master this, because when you do it, then when you go out to do it for others, that double portion comes, because you've already got your portion, and God gives you the one. The double portion for the people you've got to do the same thing for. You cannot defeat a devil for somebody else you've never met. Prophet Ashley, I'm ready for my. On Thursday. She's like, where do I go with that?
Like Prophet Adi on Thursday. I had a spot lined up. Okay. You're ready for questions, right?
I am ready.
Glory. Okay, let's see here. Why are apostles over prophets, even though the prophet is the older office?
Because the prophet's office was terminated along with the rest of the Mosaic law, because the prophets were prophets over a single nation under Moses. So they literally, their office was expired. And so it was expired when God also expired the law of Moses, and he reinstituted the apostles as the end of the law, the end of Moses' law. A lot of people don't realize that, but I've said it before. Apostles originated under Moses' law. They were Mosaic first before they were Messianic. And so that is why, even though the prophet is the older office, it is not an office that handled global issues. Apostles did.
All right. Well, this is one question, two parts. How does one know if they are an apostle, and what are the signs?
Oh, well, I have several books that you can purchase. You know, I have books. You can also take my assessment, although my apostle's assessment is still being refined. But how do you know? First of all, God tells you whether or not you're an apostle. He has to tell you. Now, I know a lot of people say God told them, but when he tells you, there are certain things that fit with it. And the answer to this question has to be a third part, because there are people who are apostolic and not apostles. And there is a difference. Apostolic, I see, is an adjective. That's a type of other kind of minister. Okay? An apostle or apostleship is the office. So there are a lot of the signs. First sign has to do with a sense of propriety and a sense of righteousness. Even if it's not Bible righteousness, that sense of right and wrong, that sense of keeping things in order, that sense of keeping perseverance and persistence, most apostles find all their lives they had to be deprived. They had to be suppressed. They had to be, some of them were bullied. Some of them were, impoverished. Some of them grew up in very terrible homes and very terrible lives. Some of them grew up in wonderful homes and just had horrible times in school. But whatever it is, it's that fortitude that caused them to come back at it as opposed to collapse, and that wouldn't allow them to be changed. See, because when you are called to do something, no matter how bad it is, it can't change your basic nature. And it's, you don't change an apostle's nature that easy. Paul was an apostle under the Mosaic law, because if you read Acts chapter 9, that's what he was doing. He was out there being an apostle for the Sanhedrin. And so that, I hope that answers some of your questions. It's a big question with big, big answers. But I do have, if you got my book, Eternity's Generals, and I found out Eternity's General is a good book to vet, because the people who can't read it aren't apostles, and the people who can't put it down are. So it's a great book.
Are apostles prophets too?
Yes. And now I know you hear, oh, I like this question. This is a good question. See, look at that. We started out with Peter because, Peter you know, when I say that they were following under the under John the Baptist, you know, people have issues with that, but let me tell you why. Because God sent John the Baptist before as a prophet, before Jesus, as he had prophesied. And he sent John to teach people how to know the Messiah when he came. All right? So when Andrew meets Jesus, and, of course, Peter and the rest of them, they say that they've learned about the Messiah. Now, you say they could have learned it in church. Well, but these were businessmen. They were, so something else taught them. And so they understood Jesus Christ from following after John and following John's ministry. So they began as apostles. I wrote in a book, in my constructing book, that apostles usually is a promoted office. I would have to say all the time it's a promoted office. You're hard-pressed to have somebody who just got out of high school and say they entered apostleship. They're not. They might be an apprentice. They might be training, but they're not, because apostleship is an office that requires extraordinary wisdom, extraordinary experience, and a backstory to draw on. And you got to have this fight that I just got through telling you about, because that's real. So if you look at it, so Peter and all of them, Matthew, the tax collector, working there in business, pulled up because of his apostolic way of doing things, his however way Jesus was looking at it. You look at all of the three, Peter, James, and John. You look at Andrew. They all had other professions first. Even Apollos. Apollos had a whole other speaking ministry. He was just running around talking. And next thing you know, he meets Paul, and that apostle wakes up in him. So that's number one. Secondly, if you're hard-pressed to say that you're speaking for God and you're not a prophet. You're not prophetic. Apostles, because they are catalysts and because they often start out by themselves at ground zero, no money, no people, no prophets, no apostles, no nobody, just them, they start out embodying all of the fivefold. And it's necessary because they have to build them, they have to identify them, they have to attract them, they have to bring them in. So that apostle that's not a converted apostle, meaning converted in the church, but that commissioned apostle always starts out in all of the offices. That is why they can prophesy. I mean, how are we getting Peter prophesying? We got Peter prophesying. We got John. Come on, let's talk about John the Revelator. Come on. All right? So, yeah, they have to start out as prophets because you have to recognize that the writings of the prophets go before you.
Amen. What are the different types of apostles?
Well, we have 12, I think. Apostles will cover every sphere of creation, everyone. So if there's seven spheres, talking about the church apostle, talking about the business and entrepreneurial apostle, talking about the educating and well, we have the educational academic apostle, we're talking about the intercessor, then we're talking about the prophetic apostle that has more of the prophetic attributes than most other apostles. So we have that. We have the, because remember this, the apostle is supposed to take nations. So we do have the ambassadorial apostle, that diplomat, you know, apostle. We have those because they have to disciple nations. Nations are full of everything. So you can pretty much realize that God will assign an apostle, but that assignment, that sphere has no way is meant to negate the having to have the full complement of apostleship attributes to do the job.
That's a good question, rolling in, Dr. Price. Can you be an apostle and not know it?
Yes. Paul, I mean, Peter was an apostle. He didn't know it. All of the apostles were apostles and didn't know it. They were chosen because Jesus prayed all night and came back with 12 names. And what did he do? He looked at certain things. You know, I looked at things. I have three prophets, and, you know, I have two prophets. I have three prophets. But from day one, I'm just going to use this as an example. From day one, Ashley distinguished herself as a prophet. She was going to deal with order. She's going to deal with structure. She's going to deal with keeping things going. She's going to deal with balance. She's going to deal with the discipline and development. She's going to be concerned about how the sheep are done. She's always going to keep the protocols going, the policies going, because she understands that if the institution falls, the mantle means nothing. Now, that's you recognize that. I recognize that immediately, and I said, now, when she first started showing up, I said, huh, this girl is not a prophet. But, of course, I didn't scare her. I waited till she got a little older before I panicked her out. But right now, so this past November, I put her in commission readiness, but we have a 36-month commission readiness track. So I put her in that. From the moment she's been it, all of those prophetic attributes went under that apostleship. So it is kind of like how it works. I guess that answers the question. You do recognize the apostles that are in, and God needs apostles in every area. You know, we hear people say, well, we don't really need that many apostles. We got 192 nations in the UN, and each nation needs something like maybe 1,000. That's a lot of apostles.
Okay.
Maybe 196. Did the number increase? We never know, because, you know, we fire in nations today.
How can you tell the difference between an immature apostle and a false apostle?
Ooh, it's in this book. The immature apostle, it has bona fide apostolic attributes and manifestations, but no message. The first thing you're going to know about an immature apostle is they have no message. A false apostle will have a perverted message. So that's number one. The immature apostle will not have wrapped that, because it takes time. Paul, 14 years in Damascus, and this is after he's got like 49 PhDs in the Hebrew life. Okay? So that's first thing. They have no message. Number two, they have no power, no clout with God. Number three, they are very sensational because the endowment for the office has not fallen on them. So you're going to see a whole lot of antics, a whole lot of mimicry. I found that most of them very much mimic. They're very mimicry-oriented. So what they see is what they do. So you're going to find that. And you're also going to find that there is no supernatural backing. There is the gifts. There are the supporting angels of the church, and then those general supporting angels for ministry, but that unique thing, that proprietary backing that backs down God's adversaries, that pushes back on it, and that boldness, because that's something else an immature apostle will be, and that is they will either be, undisciplined, and most of them are unrefined. They say, you know, because diplomacy is a key attribute of apostleship. So they'll also be that. But the main thing you'll notice is that God does not attest to them. The Bible says in the book of Mark, it said, but the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs. And not just the same evangelical distinctive signs. So there's a distinction of the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a graph of ministry and mysteries, and it's mysteries. There are so many other elements to this thing. You cannot get it just because you graduated high school. And you can't get it because you sat on a church watching the apostles in your church and you were just fascinated. The apostleship is one mantle. I think all of them are, frankly, but it's one mantle. You've got to live it to learn it. And then you have to learn it to earn it. And then after you earn it, you've got to go to the fire for God for it to burn you out before it takes you up.
Okay, does the wilderness experience differ for apostles and prophets?
Well, I'm going to go with Jesus' wilderness experience. Prophets, well, you know, John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and all that it says is that he was in the wilderness eating, you know, curds and wild honey and, you know, hearing from God. It went through the trouble of saying to us about Peter. I just told you about Peter's wilderness experience. He was alone, humiliated, embarrassed, and without help. And it says that Jesus was in the wilderness with the wild beast. I always think we never talk about the man having to be in the wilderness for 40 days fighting for his life. He is hungry. It is dark. He is isolated, and his God is backing up, because when you are in the wilderness, you feel like God left you. You feel like you and God had a fight that nobody told you about, and you are estranged. And so for the apostle, that wilderness experience is not only is it isolating, it's excruciating, because God is facing off with your stuff in ways that you don't like, and it's usually tied to physical suffering. Paul said, for the multitude of revelations that were given to me, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. Because remember, Paul had no problem knowing where his issues are. Now, a lot of folks say Satan comes for him. No, he don't. He's too busy to come for half of these things. They're not even doing enough to cause him to even wake up. He's not even sending imps. These people are just really are being battered by their own imaginations. But when you are in that office and he knows that you are a future combatant, you are a future contender for his holdings, like he knew Jesus was. He knew Jesus was a contender for his holdings. That's why he showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. He said, well, if I can get you to get to accept what I'm offering, I don't have to worry about surrendering it to you when you defeat me.
Well, here's a fun one. Why were James and John called the sons of Thunder? James and John?
Yeah, the twins. Because they were, well, first of all, they were twins. Number one. Number two, they were kind of like, and I want to say either Reuben and Simeon or Simeon and Judah. They were always in stuff. They really were. They were hotheads. They obviously being twins in a very rough era of life, they were probably bullies, but they certainly were hotheads. And so, and Jesus named them for that. He named them knowing that they're hotheads. Can I tell you something that most people don't think about? This is going to be good. Can I say it?
Say it.
All right, I understood everything else. So I'm going to go head on and say this. But even though Jesus named them sons of thunder and he kept them together and all of that was wonderful, and then their mother said, well, listen, I've got these twins. Lord, when you get in your kingdom, you can use them as bookends. You can keep one on one side, one on the other side. They look just alike. And, you know, so when you go in your kingdom, would you please do that? But do you know Jesus moved James out of the way early in the game because his goal was John? Y'all think on that. Think on these things.
They love. If you're called to be an apostle, do you have to walk as a prophet first?
If you're called to be an apostle, you will walk as a prophet first. And you will do it because everything that an apostle teaches comes from the prophetic writings. Everything. If they're real apostles, if they're Jesus, if they're somebody else's apostle, I don't have a clue. I can't help you. But when you go into the scriptures and you read the gospels, Jesus always taught the prophets, always. So you, and so which tells me that if you're a bona fide apostle and you want to get this message right and you want to be faithful to God, you're going to be drawn to prophetics, because prophetics is God speaking. God and you voicing what he speaks, or God teaching you. And God is not going to teach you, come on, somebody, he's not going to teach you from outside of his book. Jesus said, everybody who has learned of God comes to me, and I'm the word. And Jesus himself came as a prophet, just in case anybody wanted to know.
Sure they did. How does the spiritual way differ between apostle and prophet?
The prophet is a communicator, a divine communicator. I'm giving you the short version. These are all classes for me, guys. I mean, I'm telling you right now, and I must have, I don't know, what do you think, Ashley, 200-300 classes on it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got hundreds of classes on these, so I'm just giving you just a short version. The prophet is a communicator. Basic essence of apostleship, divine communications, voicing God's will, thought, mind, emotions. That's the fundamental reason why God has prophets, to give audience, give voice to his audiences so people can hear him think. God has apostles to institute what has never existed in the earth or to restore what has been destroyed. When prophets, we can say, well, there's Jeremiah. He said God made him a prophet. Yeah, but he was locked into his nation. And when he left his nation, he lost that global power, because he had the authority of being a part of a nation of the world that had his power. The apostle starts with no nation. Hallelujah. And they have to institute that national, international thing for God, the kingdom of Christ on earth. And so that what it takes to found a nation, what it takes to maintain or disciple a nation versus what it takes to receive a prophecy and give it is two different things. Hallelujah. I could say more, but I'm going to shut up.
Okay, are you supposed to pay for prophecy?
Yeah, I think you should. Saul paid Samuel for a prophecy that made him king. All right? True. Now, let me tell you why. I know y'all going to have fits, and that's okay, because you know what? Let me just say this, and I'm probably going to be a little blunt, because, you know, I'm never blunt.
Right.
I'm never blunt. But, you know, if you go to an advisor, you go to a financial counselor, you pay. You go to a financial advisor, you pay. You go to a forecaster for your business or for your life, you pay. You go to a doctor for their diagnosis of your pet. And the prophet is nothing more or just to say, but God's spiritual advisors. They are God's spiritual advisors who tap into God's knowledge of the future. The reason that you don't want to pay is because you think all they do is prophecy. But a laborer is worthy of their hire. Bible says it. It said those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And it said that those that work the altar should eat from the altar. That is Bible. So the fact that a prophet, what a prophet offers you is the answers to tomorrow should make you want to give more and not less. Now, you're okay with paying your pastor. You pay your pastor for sermons every week. You have offerings, you go down there, and you just sing, got your little envelope, yeah, Abraham's blessings are mine, but you can't. And got to wave a little thing, take the kids, take everything. You go to a prophet, and you say, you should find out information that could make you a multimillionaire for free. Now, if you think a prophet is not worthy of your money, then don't go. But you go to work every day for a paycheck. Every day you go to work for a paycheck. And when your job tells you that they can't pay you, you know what you say? I got to find me some more work. I got to get me another job. So the question is not should you pay for prophecy. Dr. Price is going to throw a question back at you. The question is why is it that the prophet is the only officer you don't want to pay? That's a bigger question.
Please tie that to the freely you receive, freely give.
Well, if that's the case,
I mean, that's where a lot of confusion, and someone commented on that, mm-hmm. about that whole thing.
But they paid a pastor. Y'all paid a musician. You paid a keyboardist. I'm telling you, these, and they only come in to play and leave. They come in, play their little music, stick their little finger up, and tip out the dough, catch a check along the way. You pay them. You pay your pastor, you pay your keyboardist, you pay music ministers. I want you to think about that because either that applies across the board or God has something else in mind. And what Jesus was talking about, he said under the law of Moses, that's number one. He said he sent them out and he said, listen, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. No, he said, I'm sending you out to go to this, because that was after the fact, to go to the house of Israel. He said, don't take anything. I want you to ride on my economy because I'm in the planet. Listen to me. This is good. I'm in the planet. And because I'm in the planet, all of my resources are here with me. Because in that same vein, the Lord said, don't take a gun. You know, today, there's a sword today. He tells us, don't take a gun. Okay, don't take a weapon, don't take your wallet, don't take anything because I have commanded every house that you're going to take care of you. Now, he's getting ready to leave. And when he gets ready to leave, you know what he said? Remember, he said, when I sent you out to do so-and-so, did you take anything? No. Did you take an extra tunic? No, we didn't, Lord. Did you take a wallet? No, we didn't, Lord. Did you take a sword? No, we didn't. He said, but I'm leaving. And now you're going to need a tunic and you're going to need a wallet. And you're going to need a sword. He says that in Luke and told them to go buy swords. So we have to put things in context. And in the context of that, we got Paul coming along the line saying, that you ought to eat from the gospel and eat from the altar. Now, Jesus Christ is the same man who said, freely you have received, freely give. The same guy also said, but a laborer is worthy of his hire. For example, it is not up to the people who invite a guest minister to set their wages. How do you set somebody? You don't set the repairman's wages. You don't set the car man's wages. You don't set the electric company's wages. You don't even set your doctor's wages. You don't even set your financial advisor's wages. It is not. That is another way of robbing God's people and seeing to it that God's ministers are always so poor they leave the ministry and Satan does not have to give up his holdings over them. It is not your place to set their wages. If they say that they want so-and-so, you either say I can afford it or not, just like you do with everybody else. Because Jesus said the laborer is worthy of his hire. Hallelujah. So if that person who hires you set your wages, that's a company, then that's what you make. Now, if you say you want more than that, then you go someplace else and get more than that.
All right, last one for tonight.
Why? I'm having fun.
No.
Okay. I'm good, guys. I'm really good.
Can bishops ordain apostles? One of your things.
Well, bishops were not around when apostles came into existence. And the only reason that they have been led to think they can today has to do with the Catholic, apostolic succession, where all the apostles had died out and the bishops took their place, which you can read again in this trusty little book. It's in here. And so the question becomes, listen to this because this is important. Can a goodwill ambassador dispatch a diplomatic or a country's ambassador? Because you don't have the bishop is over churches, and they're usually tied to denominations. Apostles are sent from the king, the face of the king. So the bishop is not going to be in the king more than the apostle.
Excellent.
Is that all right? How'd I do, guys? Seriously?
Yes.
Let me know. You know, Facebook me, tweet me, inbox me, link me in. And let me know, because I do this because I know you need answers. And I know that after 35 years, you know, I'm not a newbie. After 35 years, I've lived a lot. If you catch my show on Friday nights, you hear my testimony. Lived a lot, learned a lot, struggled a lot, fought a lot. But I did it, and I never backed down to get it right for Jesus Christ, because I knew if I got it right for Jesus, I would get it right for you. So, Prophet Ashley, you want to wrap it up?
Sure. Coming around, okay, round of applause. Yeah. Everybody was blessed by tonight's everything.
Amen.
Yes. Go to www.drpaulaaprice.com and sow a seed into Dr. Price's life. Well, it's a perfect segue. I could not miss this opportunity. You laid down the foundation for what we received tonight. Everybody online, wherever you are, will be able to take this information, implement it into your ministry, your work, your own understanding, and use it to benefit your life. So let's also benefit our apostles' life. Mm-hmm. Also, earlier in tonight's message, Dr. Price was mentioning the teaching from Chief Prophet Tala Price. It is called Apostolic Prophets, Understanding Our Message and Commission. You can go to Dr. Price's website, drpaulaaprice.com, shop for products. If you just key in Apostolic Prophet in the search, it will take you to that. If you also go back to the video that's streaming on Facebook now, after we've concluded, I put the link up there as well, so you can just have a direct click. You scroll down through all the amazing comments, but Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus.
Did they put them in the form?
Oh, they put them. They were going crazy.
But Jesus.
You can scroll through those, click on the link, and purchase your download. It is an audio. It is download. You will not receive anything in the mail. Check, okay? Please read all the instructions for your download. But it is download. Again, Apostolic Prophets, Understanding Our Message and Commission.
Amen. Well, I hope you had a great time. Do me a favor. Continue to spread this along. Listen to it again and again. I don't slow down a whole lot because I get on fire and I don't know how to stop. So that's number one. But secondly, because I know you can go back and listen to it after it's done on Periscope, you can go right on over to Facebook and they have it all, and you can just watch it again and again and again. If you think we should have more Q&As on apostles and prophets, just inbox me on Facebook and let me know. Like me and inbox me. And, hey, like me. I'm trying to get my numbers way, way up. And same thing, you know, help me boost my numbers on Periscope. Why? Because that means more people are getting it. I love you all. I thank you all for being who you are. Don't forget, when you're done, go right to the website and sign up for the Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute in June 15th to 18th. We have a room block. If you can't get in the room block, that's all right. Just call Prophet Ashley. She got power with the people on high. Okay? And so she'll get you in. Make sure you pay. If you have a group, bring your group. By now, you know this is worthy ground. And lastly, as I'm leaving you tonight, I will appreciate seeds, because this is what I get. This is it, guys. And so your blessings are what keep me going. And you know that I'm good ground. You know I'm not misleading you. This is not a gimmick. I'm too me to be a gimmick. So you really do would find that there's a blessing. And for those of you who will be sowing a seed, I release the harvest today. I call in the blessing, and I remove the devourer from your house in Jesus' name. I call your children saved, your marriage saved, your house saved, and your future fulfilled, your destiny prosperous in Jesus' name. Good night.